Have your Bible with you. Turn with me to James chapter 4. I would invite you to stand with me if you're able to this morning as we read a few verses out of James in the 4th chapter. We must remember as we're reading this, there's a few times that James is speaking specifically, or he mentions specifically who he's speaking to, and so we see that he's writing entirely to his brethren. Chapter 1 says it, chapter 2 says it, chapter 3 says it. He's just continuing on. Though chapter 4 doesn't specifically say, my brethren, in this passage that we're going to read, he does use the word brethren down beyond where we will be concluding in our reading. The reason why I specify that is because sometimes we can get ourselves lost in the context when we just pick up with verse 1 of chapter 4 and think that he's not talking to the church. He's not talking to his brethren, but he is. Means that he's speaking to you and I this morning. Follow with me as I read, beginning with verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Father, we need your divine touch this morning. I ask for your anointing. I ask that you would anoint my lips and my mind. I pray that you would also anoint our ears, our heart, that we would be receptive to your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. My understanding is that in the original language, this word submit really has to do with subjection or subjecting ourselves to God. The Amplified says to be subject to God. Now in the political realm, we are not wanting to be subjects. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people that refuse to be subjects in the political realm. But in the spiritual realm, it appears that James is suggesting to us, yea, commanding us, that we are to subject ourselves. We are to come under the authority of God. Submit. The word submit simply means surrender or yield oneself to the will or the authority of another. To surrender or yield oneself, to become a subject. A subject is someone who has been brought under the authority or the control or the power of another. And in that subject, being a subject, or in that submission, one owes allegiance to the ruler. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We look at the picture of man and God, we also see that there is an enemy. And when man is away from God, he is in essence, or a person is away from God, they are in essence an enemy and a rebel from God, rebellious of God's authority. Submission doesn't just simply mean that I want to be a Christian. Calling ourselves a Christian does not mean that I am submitting to God. We have a warped sense in Christendom today, and I believe that it's infiltrating the conservative holiness ranks as we have titled ourselves. What this really entitles or what this really means. I made a statement sometime back to a young person about something that he was holding very precious in his hands, and I said something pretty strong, and he reminded me of it just the other day. It was some months back that I said it to him, and he reminded me of it just the other day, and I said, but it's true. I believe that it's true what I said. And he said, but there are Christian people. They are. See, not everybody that calls themselves Christian are really Christian. Judge not that ye be not judged. I understand. I know that's what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. I know it's there. I know where it is. Judge not that ye be not judged. It's there. It's not a matter of making or passing judgment or condemnation. It's simply that not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. There's a lot that call or profess the name of Christ that do not know Christ. There's a lot that profess the name of Christ that are rebelling against His authority. They refuse to come under His authority, or they refuse to be a subject of His. Subject, somebody who has submitted, somebody who has surrendered and yielded themselves to the will and the authority of God. A person has not truly submitted themselves, brought themselves into submission to God if they are in the state of indifference. Indifference may be hard to define in my life, but it's easier to define in somebody else's life. It's quite often the case in about every subject that we talk about. There's one individual that the context really doesn't pertain to this exactly, but you'll find in Acts chapter 18, there's a person by the name of Gallio that he cared for none of these things. He showed indifference to what was taking place. He said, you go and judge according to your law and your words. He said, if it's not pertaining to what I have to deal with, then I don't want anything to do with it. And there was a beating that took place in front of him. And it says at the end of that context that Gallio cared for none of these things. He was indifferent to it. It didn't move him one way or the other. Indifference could also be used in the area that we look at in the book of Revelation, where Jesus was talking to one of the churches, and he said that they were neither hot nor cold, but they were lukewarm. They were in that state of indifference. They were in between, riding the fence, not making a decision either way. They were indifferent. Calling themselves a Christian, but really struggling with or refusing the submission part. James tells us some things here about this submission. Person hasn't fully submitted until they have quit living life for themselves. That's where it comes from, as we read in the first few verses here. All of these wars and fightings that may take place, it's all coming because of the lust that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, and ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not. And so all of this is going on, and it's a struggle for self. It's the desire for my desires and my way and for my control and to do it my way. Someone suggests to us that with the end of verse number 2 where it says, because ye ask not, doesn't necessarily mean that the person's not praying, but it's that they don't talk to God about all of these things that are transpiring in their lives. They just go about and do it their own way rather than bringing it to the attention of God and giving and trying to have God's direction, submitting to God. Sometimes we get things a little bit confused in these verses too. It's saying, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. And so therefore, when I do receive from God the answers to prayer, then I must be asking right and I must be living right. We can get things confused that way as well. And so it calluses us to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, God answered that prayer. That must mean that I'm okay. And I'm doing this right. And that must mean that I'm okay in all of these areas. But in reality, it could very well be that God just worked that plan. And God fulfilled that plan. Or God was answering somebody else's prayer. There's so many things that can come into play in the midst of our lives. We better be careful about how we attribute our certainty of salvation to our blessings. But simply submit ourselves to God, not living for self. Desiring His praise over the praise and the honor of people around us. We also run into so many times in this area of submission to God, we kind of have this thing built into us, into our nature, that we like to please men or other people. Quite often, though, we've raise our flag up and say, wait a minute, preacher, you're going too far there. I don't have a problem. I'm not a people pleaser. I'm not interested in pleasing people. Maybe not that person or that people, but there may be some other people. I can name things and people that I'm not interested in pleasing, but then there's some that I'd kind of like to have their smile. I'd kind of like to have their approval. I'd kind of like to have their friendship. Look at verse number 4. He's not talking about people here, referring to people here and unfaithfulness in marriage. He is referring to their unfaithfulness to God. That's what he's talking about when he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You have divorced yourself from God's approval. You have done things and you have sought after the approval of the world or the peoples of the world or the people around you. You have had more of an interest in the pleasures or the things of this world. The friendship of this world is enmity with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. What a phrase tucked in the middle here. What a phrase, but He giveth more grace. And then He goes on, He jumps right on into this big subject that it hinders so many people. Could I just say hinders so many of us? Because when I say us, I'm including myself. Look at what He said here in verse 6 after that little
phrase speaking about giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. There's a lot more pride in the human heart than what the human heart, the heart or the mind, is willing to admit. Then we find that the heart is trying to guard itself against its own pride by pointing out what is wrong or prideful in somebody else, or what we perceive to be visible pride in someone else. Jeremiah penned the words, and we have them recorded for us, so vivid and so real. He said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not just a taint or a little tarnish or a spot or a speck. It's the heart is deceitful above all and is desperately wicked. You know what the word desperately means, being desperate. Have you ever been desperate for something? You ever been desperate? Desperately wicked. That's incredible, isn't it? A person has not fully submitted to Christ when they are in the state of indifference, or when they are living for self, and when they are seeking to please man or people. And a person is not submitted to Christ or submitted to God when they are loving the world, because that love of the world is enmity. James is telling us here in verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now, why would we submit ourselves to God? What is the purpose in us submitting ourselves to God? The psalmist said in Psalm 100 that we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It's a horrible thing for us to be likened to sheep. You've heard messages about being sheep, I'm sure. You've been around the church as long as I have, and most of you have been. You've heard somebody preach about the characteristics of a sheep, and why in the world would God liken His people to sheep? That's kind of a slap in the face, because we understand that sheep are dumb. They need to follow. Isn't that a slap in my face? Why should we? Well, simply because we are His people. We are His people because He is our Creator. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Why is it that we should submit ourselves to God? Because He is our Creator, and because He has sent His Son to save us. He is our Redeemer. Our Redeemer. That means that we were lost and away from God, and there was a penalty, or there was a price tag. There was something that had to be done or given to purchase our redemption. He is our Redeemer. That's enough said there, isn't it, of why we should submit ourselves to Him? Because we are His, and He has redeemed us. He has bought us. He has paid for us. He has given of Himself so that we could be set free. We are His, or we should submit to Him, because He hath given us His Spirit to be our teacher. He hath given us His Spirit to be our guide. He hath given us His Word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This all sounds good so far, doesn't it? Submitting ourselves to God, not living for self, not living in the state of indifference or lukewarmness, not seeking to please men, but living to please God and to have His smile of approval, and to be reminded that He is our Creator and our Redeemer and our teacher and our guide. And we are His people, His sheep. But what exactly are we to submit? To what extent is this submission? What does it mean for us to have to submit to God? Verse number 7, he said, submit yourselves, therefore. That implies some things. The implication here is when he uses the word yourselves, the implication is that he is telling us that we are to submit our will and our affections. Those things are down inside. That's not the covering that is visible to people around us, but that takes it right down into the very core of the person. The will and the affections. To submit my will and my affection. To submit my time and my talents. To submit my plans and my purposes. To submit my pleasures and my possessions. To submit my cares and my anxiety. Oh yeah, I like that part. Yeah, I like that part. I can cast all of my cares and my anxieties on Him because He cares so much for me. Well, let's not skip over what has already been said and hang up on the one that we like because it's all included. He said, submit yourselves. There's 24 hours in a day. That makes it that there's 1,440 minutes in a day, and there's 86,400 seconds in a day. That doesn't pertain to ourselves, though, does it? It does in the fact that we are to submit ourselves entirely, completely, fully, unabridged, unadulterated. Our will and our affections, our time, our talents, our plans, our purposes, our pleasures, our possessions, everything about us, he said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I didn't send Adam a text before church and said that I'm going to be speaking about submission, but every song he led us in this morning had the same theme of submission, surrender, giving. And they were uplifting songs because we value the meaning of those words. We can feel those words. We can rejoice in those words. But in the Word of God, as we've looked at this morning, it takes us a little bit beyond the emotion of the hymns. And as great as they are, it takes us to the very core, to the very depths. It brings us down into the innermost part of our being that we are to submit ourselves, not just on a Sunday morning to sing and to praise and to rejoice together in this time, but also in the days that follow, in the days ahead, in the hours, in the minutes, in the seconds of the day that we are to submit ourselves to God. I want my wife to come and play a song this morning, and we're going to sing a little bit of it. You can turn in your book if you want to song 495. Judson Van Deventer penned these words. And it's said about Judson that he became an art teacher. And then later he became an art supervisor in the public school system in Sharon, Pennsylvania. He was active. He was an active layman in the Methodist Episcopal Church. Now, mentioning the name of that church, you probably think that it was nominal. But we must remember that he died. This Van Deventer died in 1939. Methodist Episcopal Church at that time was still fairly vibrant, spiritually minded church. Van Deventer became more involved with evangelistic meetings that were being held in his church. And at that time of his involvement, his friends began to encourage him to give up his teaching and to become an evangelist. It tells us about him that he spent the next 5 years struggling, wavering between the challenge of the ministry and that of becoming a recognized artist. His own words during that time was that he said, "For some time I struggled between developing my talents in the field of art and going into full-time evangelistic work. At last the pivotal hour of my life came and I surrendered all." And so we sing the words of the song that he penned at that pivotal point in his life when he was struggling with his will and his affection and wanting to make a name for himself in the art world. Oh, you and I don't have that problem. We don't have that desire. We don't seek after that goal. That's not for me, but it's the struggle of the will and the affections that's most important in the subject. All of these things that James is referring to, he's talking to his brethren. He's speaking about people in the church that are having something going on down inside their heart of a struggle that is taking place of their will against the will of God. That's what James is talking about, and that's who he's talking to. But he said that the final end of it, the end of it all, is when we come to verse number 7 and he says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." You see, that ends the struggle. Because God gives grace unto the humble. His grace that is sufficient for us to be pardoned. His grace that is sufficient for us to be reconciled. His grace that is sufficient for us to be cleansed, to be kept, to be satisfied, to be brought into His presence in glory. His grace that is sufficient to the humble. Let's stand together as we sing. I just want to sing the first two verses of this song, "I Surrender All," 495. If you have a need this morning and like to pray, would you come and pray? It's a good time to pray this morning. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Yourselves therefore to God. Trust you're submitted to Him this morning. Does anybody need to pray before we go? I surrender all.
everything, my everything, to Him. Brian, would you dismiss us in prayer?